The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Nosot, but I would like to continue with the topic we were learning in the last year, which was the year before Shavuos. And that is, we were learning the Mishnah in the last Perek of Masechet Ovis, Perek Vov, which is called Perek Kinyan Torah, Mishnah Aleph. Remeah says, Kol ha'esek b'teira lishma, that whoever learns Torah for its own sake, and that we explain where he learns Torah not for the sake of honor, and not for the sake so he should know more than other people and he should be able to challenge them, and not for the sake of panosa, for monetary purposes, but he learns Torah for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to enjoy the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know the mitzvahs of the Torah in order that he can do them, or to be able to teach this Torah to others. All of this goes into the meaning of Torah Lishma. Whoever labors in Torah, occupies himself with Torah Lishma, Zeichel Dvorim Harbe, he will merit many, many things. V'lei Oid. And not only will he merit all of the brachas of this world, like long life and honor and material wealth and so forth, El Shekol Ha'ilam Kule Kedai Hulei. The entire world is indebted to him. Nikra Reya Ohuv. He is called a friend and a beloved of people and of the Almighty. Eves Amokim, Eves Abrius. He's a lover of the of people, of the Almighty, and he's a lover of the people. Umalbashte Anova Vigira. And he is clothed in humility and in fear of God. Umachshate. And it prepares him, it perfects him. Liyais tzaddik, to be a tzaddik, chosid, a yoshor, yoshor is upright, v'nemon, and faithful. Umarachakte min achet, umekorafte lidei schus. And it keeps him distanced from chet, from sin, and brings him close to schus, to merit, to virtue. V'neanim mimeno, and we all enjoy from him Eitzo Ususio, this is wise counsel, Bina, wisdom, Ugvura and strength. Shnemar, as it states, Li Eitzo Bisusio, and Divino Li Gvura. Then he sends Le Malchus Ememshola, and it gives him royalty and sovereignty, Vechikodin, and the understanding of judgment. Umegalim le'rozei Torah, and it is revealed to him the secrets of the Torah. V'nasik imayin she'napesik, and he becomes like a spring that never ceases. U'kenorishim isgaber v'heilech, and like a river that continually grows stronger. V'heivet sanua v'erech ruach, and he becomes modest and private and patient. Umechala al elbeine, and he is forever forgiving of insults. Umegadalte, umeramamte al kol hamasim, and it raises him up and exalts him over all things. This is the Mishnah. Now, before Shavuos, we learned the first part of it. I would like to continue this evening. Again, we won't be able to finish this evening. Maybe we'll have a chance to finish at another time. But we will continue. And we are where it states, Umachshate liyais tzadik chosid yoshor venemon, that it prepares him to be a tzadik, a chosid, a yoshor, and an emon. What do these classifications mean? Tzaddik means a person Incidentally, almost all what I'm taking here is from the commentary of the Maral Miprag in his Sefer Obis. Tzaddik is a person who does always what is supposed to be done, what is fitting to be done. For example, the word stoker comes from the word tzaddik. Charity is something which is fitting to do, should be done. You see a person who needs something, and you have it, you have what he needs, and you can help him with it, then it's roi laseis kein. It's befitting that it should be done. You see a person who's suffering, and you can relieve him from that suffering, then it's befitting that this should be done. This is the midas of rachamim, compassion. And the rachamim is a quality, it's a basic quality, human quality of decency. And this is something which the logic demands that should be done. And it states, Ki tzaddik Hashem tzedakah yoseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves tzedakah. All of these are qualities of the Almighty, and they become qualities of the Torah. So this is what tzedakah is, and this is what tzaddik is. And incidentally, this was the quality which Yosef HaTzaddik excelled in. He was known as Yosef HaTzaddik, that he always did what a person should do, what is demanded from a person. This is tzaddik. Then we have another quality, and that is chosid. Chosid is a very, very high and great quality, and it's not such a basic quality that we find so many people have. And the Gemara says, actually, when the Gemara counts all of the qualities in the Braisa of Rapinus Ben Yoya, chosid is one of the very, very highest. And the Gemara says, Eizo chosid, who is a chosid? Mishem is chesed im acherim. Someone who does chesed with others, from the word of chesed. Chesed means goodness. A person does goodness with others, then he's a chosid. That's the only way to be a chosid, to do goodness with others. Now, how is this different than tzedakah? The Gemara says, tzedakah is lechayim v'lo lemesim. Tzedakah is for the living and not for the dead, because tzedakah is to fulfill a need. The living have a need, the dead have no needs. La'aniyim v'lo la'ashirim. It's for the poor and not for the wealthy, because the poor have needs, the wealthy, they don't have this need. Therefore, there's no mitzvah to give them tzedakah, to give them money. Chesed. But when it comes to chesed, bein lechayim uvein lemesim, uvein la'aniyim uvein la'ashirim. To do good for others. There's no difference. You can do good for a wealthy person and for a poor person, and you can do good for a living, and you can do good for the dead. That's why when a person does something for the dead, that's called the chesed shelemes. It's a chesed. He doesn't need it. So if you do good for him, that's the level of good for the sake of good itself. This level of chesed is the quality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used when he created the world. Chesed olam yibonah. The motivation to create the world was because he wanted to give from his goodness to other people, to the creations. Now there was no need. If a man is suffering, you have to relieve him from his suffering. But there were no creations yet. There were no creations, so there was no need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to relieve or to fulfill any needs or relieve any sufferings. And still he went and created a world because he wanted to do good. There was no one to do good for. So he made people in order that he could fulfill the giving of goodness to them. And this is why the creation of the world was called Chesed, Olam Chesed Yibonah. Amarti Olam Chesed Yibonah, I said that I will build a world with Chesed. And this was the quality of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had such goodness in him that he wanted to do good for everyone. It was unlimited. Tzedakah is limited. Chesed is unlimited. The motivation of tzedakah, of tzaddik, comes from compassion, suffering. When you identify with someone else's needs and with someone else's sufferings, this motivates you to do something. This is a very, very high quality. And the Gemara says that Yisrael are Rachmonim. They have Rachmonis. But there's even a higher quality. And that's Gemle Chasodim. That doesn't come because you identify with their needs and their sufferings. The motivation doesn't come mibachutz, from external sources, but rather it comes from internal sources, where the person wants to do good for the other person, not because he needs it, but because the giver needs it. The giver has goodness in him that he wants to give to others. He has so much goodness in him that it pours over to others. I'll give you an example. A mother wants to feed her child. She's not only feeding the child because the child needs the milk, but she has this in her that she wants to give to the child. This is chesed. This we see by Avraham. Avraham's chesed was unlimited. He did good for those who deserved to be good. Goodness, he did good for those who didn't deserve it. He did good for angels. When the angels came, even though he thought they were men, he thought they were mortals. And he did all types of chasodim with them. And he gave them to eat. And he gave them shade. And he gave them water. But actually, in reality, he did nothing for them because they had no needs. They were angels. But still we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid the descendants of Avraham forever for that chesed. Because chesed is not, the purpose of the chesed is not to relieve someone's suffering, but the sharing of one's goodness. And this is tied up very strongly what we call avas abries, the love for other people, avas chesed. And this is what is meant when it states, Umechalkil Chaim Bechesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds all of the creations with chesed. The question is asked, that's not chesed, that's din. If you create someone, so you have to feed him, you cannot let him starve. So why is that called chesed? So the answer is, if you feed them, because otherwise they will starve, and therefore you are moved by compassion. That's not chesed. But that's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds and sustains his creations. He sustains his creations for reasons above that, because of his great love for the creations. And therefore it states, "Umechalkil Chaim b'chesed," that he sustains all of his creations regardless of their needs. He sustains them because of his chesed, of his loving kindness for them. So this is what is known as chosi, which is one of the highest qualities. The Gemara brings, this is lifnim meshuras adin, when you go beyond the call of duty. Then we have another quality, which is yoshor. Yoshor means straight, not to the right and not to the left. And this is what also is called din, in Mishpot, perfect law, perfect judgment. Now, there are times when we are not allowed to have rachmonis, compassion, and there are times when we are not allowed to do chesed. For example, if two people come and they have a dispute and they bring it to the dayonim, to the judges, and the judges have to decide and render the judgment. And that it states, "Va'mishpat le'lekimhu." That judgment is the judgment of the Almighty. That must be perfect. You're not allowed to bend the law either way. Lo sehed adal bedin. You're not allowed to give honor to the poor and say he's poor and therefore I'll bend the deen in his favor. Or le'segurim ibnei ish. You're not allowed to have fear from anyone. Ve'ein merachmin bedin. You're not allowed to have compassion. Because
All of these qualities are where you bend to the right or to the left. And in this case, if you bend to the right and you favor that person, then you cause a loss to the one on the left. If you bend to the left and you'll favor that person, you'll cause a loss on the one to the right. And that we're not allowed to do. Therefore, when it comes to judgment, this has to be perfect. And this is Yoshur. And this is why it states Amishba Lelakim. Actually, this was the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe it states Ish Elokim. He was the man, and Elokim always refers to the God of judgment. Moshe was able to render a perfect judgment, more than any other man. So this is Yoshur. Now, these three qualities are the qualities which HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world with. As it states, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Tes, Ki ani Hashem eisa chesed mishpat utztoka ba'oretz. I am the Lord your God, and I do chesed, mishpat, that's yoshur, and stoka ba'oretz. These are the three qualities which the Almighty conducts the world. Sometimes it has to be with yoshur and mishpat. Sometimes it has to be with stoka, with compassion. Sometimes it has to be with chesed. But you have to know exactly when each quality should be used. For example, it states that someone who uses rachmonis when he should use din, amarachi malagzorim, someone who has compassion for people who are cruel, seif elagzor la rachmonim. So the end will be that this will bring cruelty to those who are compassionate. For example, in our Western civilization, that you have so much lawlessness, and because of ultra-liberal attitudes, we have to be compassionate to the criminal. So what kind of compassion is that? That's an axorius, that's a cruelty to the innocent. The innocent have to suffer because some want to show compassion to the criminal. Show better compassion to the innocent. We let people go around with guns and all types of arms, and it's all right if they hold up banks and take things that don't belong to them or burgle houses and shoot a few policemen in the process. But instead of hanging those people, the Gemara says that someone who has an arm, then he's a potential murderer. And this is it. We see it. Someone who carries. And what is an arm? An arm is anything which you can kill with. Today we have guns that can knock down buildings. Gemara wasn't talking about that. But you have a knife or a bar. Gemara says that's rei lahargai. That's a weapon. That's a weapon that can kill. And a person who is in possession of this, especially if he's breaking into someone else's property, the Gemara says that you're allowed to kill that person because he's a potential murderer. And rather than let him murder someone else, murder him first. And this we see with our eyes. Because if this person is stopped, someone tries to stop him, he pulls out the gun or the knife, and you read about it in the papers, 2 policemen killed, 3 policemen killed, so forth and so on. But society carries on. These people are brought before the courts, and through legal technicalities, it can take months or years before anything is done, and even when something is done, what is it? We have a rachmonis. We talk about rehabilitating them. Meanwhile, the innocent victims or the policemen or their wives or their children are widows forever, their children are orphans. We don't talk about rehabilitating them. So this is a classical example of using rachamim where it's osur, where it's forbidden to use. And that's what the Gemara, and the example we all learn from, which we mentioned many times, was Shaul HaMelech. Because of this, Shaul lost the Malchus. King Saul was ordered to destroy Amalek. And because he had rachmonis, which he thought was a good quality, from there came out a near annihilation of all Israel, because from the descendant of Agog, the one that Shaul had compassion on, was Haman. And who knows, had Shaul not had that compassion, who knows if there would have been a Hitler. So here he's using a very good quality, a quality of rachamim, and it's exactly what our sages say, amarachim ala achzorim, seif ala achzor ala rachmonim. Then you see a Hitler yamachshimon that can destroy a million children. So one must not become confused with this. And that's why it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses all of these qualities, but each one must be used in their exact place and proper perspective. Otherwise they can become very, very destructive and deadly. And the Torah is made up of these qualities. But the Torah teaches a person, and only the Torah can teach a person when to use them and how to use them. And therefore the Meir says, Alei Meitere Lishma, someone who learns Torah for the sake of learning Torah, and he gives his days and nights to it, will rise to the level of Torah, then umachshate, it will prepare him to be a tzaddik and a chosid and a yosha. And now there's a fourth quality, and that's Ne'eman. Ne'eman means consistent. The actual word Ne'eman, emuna, means faith. But this means consistent. After you have these three qualities, there must be a consistency. Many times we see that people have very good qualities, but if they were poor and they became very wealthy, then they lost these qualities. Or if they were wealthy and became very poor, they lost these qualities. We see as they go through life, either because of great changes that take place during their life, they lose these qualities. That's not Ne'eman. Ne'eman means b'li shinui, where there's no change. And this is a quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. States HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ani Hashem Leishanisi. There is no change by me. And Torah has no change in it. We see that no matter how many changes the world goes through, and this is something also the ultra-liberals wanted to believe, that it's a modern world, so therefore times have changed, so therefore the laws that applied in the past cannot apply now. The moral codes that applied in the past cannot apply now. Unfortunately, they're eating their words, but everybody is. But we see what tremendous chaos and destructiveness has come into the world because of this. We see that no matter how many changes the world goes through, the dictums of the Torah, the disciplines of the Torah, the moral quality and principles of the Torah remain the same. These are beyond change. And why is that? Because the physical level is always is subject to change. Physical world that the Almighty created and He put under the governorship of the sun is in constant state of movement. Solar system never stops. Anything in constant state of movement is in constant state of change. Therefore, at the physical level, it's not that change is possible, it's that consistency is impossible. Nations will rise and nations will fall, and kings will rise and kings will fall. And the dollar will rise and the dollar will fall, and gold will rise and gold will fall. It's not that change is possible. Lack of change is impossible. And this history tells us. And this, the chokham, the fool doesn't, the fool cannot see it. He thinks that if a power comes into the world, it's going to be like that forever. And if gold is going to go up, it's going to go up forever. And if gold is going to go down, it's going to go down forever. And the wise person knows, no. Now it is. But it's going to change. But we must understand, the Chazal say, it can change. It's going to change. Nothing in the physical world can remain in an unchanged state of affairs, because the physical world is the solar system, and the solar system is always moving. But the spiritual world is above change and beyond change. And that's how we see, no matter what will happen to Russia, or to China, or to Japan, or to the West, the mitzvahs of the Torah remain the same. Their application has to be different, because you're applying them to physical situations of change, but the principles themselves remain unchanged. And this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above this, and he says, Ani leishonisi, I do not change. And this quality is his, and this is the quality in the Torah, and this is a quality that a man must strive for. That when it comes to his principles, these must never change. When it comes to his ultimate goals and objectives and principles, the tactics can change, how to come to it. The means might change, but the end must always remain the same. They must be beyond and above change. And that's what it states, Tzadik b'emunoscha yichya. Tzadik lives, his foundation is in emuna. Emuna means unshaking faith. Belief that what he believes in is always. HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times in the Torah states, Ani Hashem, I am the Lord your God. What does that mean? Ne'amon, you can trust me. Ne'amon l'shalem. If I say I will pay, then you can trust me totally. I do not change. Now this is strength. Unfortunately, we find not enough of it today. We live in very, very unstable times. Not only the world is subject to change, it's chaos. And it affects people. And people are always coming and going and moving and this, changing and so forth and so forth, changing jobs and changing careers, changing education, changing courses, changing yeshivas, changing beliefs, changing communities and so forth and so on. This is the life we live in today. And this comes from the further instability. This, what does it mean? It means we have fallen into a physical abyss. Instead of rising above the physical chaos, where the spirit remains unchanged, and the spirit remains one direction, we've fallen into physical chaos. We've become too physical. And therefore we're caught up in this whirlpool of constant change. And where it affects the spirit. So we have a lack of strength today. This is a lack of strength. It's a lack of dependability. Dependability and consistency and continuity, this spells out strength. And that's what emunah is. And tzaddik b'emunoscha yichya, the strength of the tzaddik is through his unshaking faith. So all of these qualities are of no use unless a person is an emon. He can be a chosid, and he can be a tzaddik, and he can be a yoshur. But if he keeps changing directions all of the time, it will do him no good. So therefore he must be a ne'amon also, where he is constant, he is reliable, forever, he is dependable. And this, where, how does a person become like this? If he rises to the level of the Torah, and this is through Alemei Teira Lishmo, if he studies Torah Lishmo. Therefore it states, Umachshartei, Torah will prepare him to be a tzaddik, a chosid, a yoshor, and an ne'amon. Then it states, Umarachaktoi minachet, umikaraftoi lideshus. It distances him from sin, and it brings him close to merit, to virtue. Now, till now we were speaking of what it does for the person himself. So therefore it said, Umalbashtoi, that it garbs him. Another year of humility and fear becomes part of the person, or umachshatay, or it prepares him to be a tzaddik and a chosid, a yosher v'nemo. This is what it does to the person himself. But after it has perfected the person himself, now the Meir is telling us, affiliation, he said, is more also. After it has perfected the person himself, it will keep him far from hate, from sin, and it will bring him close to virtue. On this we could ask, Pshita, this is someone who studies Torah Lishma, so we can understand that he will not pursue hate, but he will pursue virtue. What does it mean? Now, the answer to this is, it means, even b'shegeg, even inadvertently, if he attaches himself to Torah, and he gives his heart and soul and his labors to Torah Lishma, then the Torah will protect him. Not only will the Torah perfect him, see, as far as the Torah perfecting him, that means he'll be a tzaddik. But people make mistakes. Even if you're a tzaddik, you can make a mistake. Even if you're a chosid, you can make a mistake. It'll go further than that. After perfecting him, it will guard him. It will guard him, and it will distance him from hate, and it will bring him to virtue, even inadvertently. This we see from Apostle Kintilim. Kintilim Kuf Yutes. This is the perek where David HaMelech gives praise to the Torah with all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. In Os Ches, Posuk Nun Tes, David HaMelech says, Chishavti drochoy, I calculated my ways. I set my ways, v'oshiva radlai elei dosecho, but the Torah brought back my feet to its statutes. So what does this mean? He says, Chishavti drochoy, that I set my ways, but v'oshiva radlai, but the Torah returned my feet, el edosecho, returned my steps to your statutes. So the Medrash Rabba says in Vayikra, right, Perek Lamed Hei, right at the beginning of Perek Lamed Hei, which is the beginning of Parshas, im bechukeisai teilechu, that if you will walk in my statutes. The Medrash says, Omar David. David said, Ribbeinu Shleilam, Master of the Universe, Kol Yom V'Yom Ha'yisi Mechashi V'Eimer L'mokom Pleini L'beis Dira Pleini Sani Heilich. Every day I would calculate, every day I would think of where I would want to go, that today I want to go to this person's house, or today I want to go to this woman's house. And not all the time were my thoughts that good. Not all the time were my intentions that good. But instead of my feet carrying me to these places, my feet would carry me to the shuls and to the Beis HaMedrash. Hadohu deceive, and that is what is written, that chishavti drochei, that I had set my ways in one direction, v'ashiva raglai elei desecho, and the Torah returned my feet in a different direction, towards your statutes. This means that when a person comes to the level of Torah Lishma, and it has perfected him, now it will guard him. It will guard him that even if inadvertently he's going to come close to sin, the Torah will protect him and bring him away from sin. And if inadvertently he's going to go away from virtue, the Torah will protect him and bring him to virtue. Actually, we see a similarity of this with Yosef. It states that when Yosef was tempted by Ishus Potiphar, by the wife of his master, he was enticed and he was tempted, and he was just ready to succumb to the enormous temptations. He saw an image in the window of his father, Yaakov. And when he saw that, and he gave a jump and ran away. What was that? That was the Torah coming to protect him from hate. Then it states, "V'ne'anin mimeno eitza v'tushio bino ugvura." People will take pleasure from him with eitza and tushio. Eitza and tushio is counsel, wise counsel. Bino is wisdom, and gvura is strength. Shenemar, as it states, li eitza v'tushio ani bino li gvura. There's a pasuk in Mishle that this is what is being quoted by the Mishnah, and this is in Mishle Ches Pasuk Yud Dalet, where Shlema HaMelech is praising the Torah, and he says that the Torah exclaims, "Li Eitzev Isushio, to me, from me, comes counsel of Eitzah and Sushia, ani vino, I am wisdom, li gvura, and to me is strength." This is what the Torah states. So the Torah exclaims, cries out, sings out four qualities. Li Eitzah v'sushia, that to me is counsel, wise counsel, ani vino, I am wisdom, and li is gvura, and to me is strength. Now, notice the Mishnah doesn't say that someone who studies Torah Lishma will be zecher, will merit these qualities. But rather it says, v'ne'anin mimenu, we will enjoy from him these qualities. This is a further level. That not only will he have these qualities, but these qualities will pour forth from him to others. If somebody studies Torah Lishma and he becomes wise, and he becomes filled with good counsel and advice, so it's not only a level where it will not only be a level where he will be wise for himself and he will have advice for himself and counsel for himself, but this counsel and advice and wisdom and strength will go out to others. So that's why the Mishnah says v'ne'anin mimenu, that we will enjoy from him. Now, in this pasuk in Mishle, the Torah exclaims, "Li eitzah v'tushia, li gvura." To me is counsel, to me is strength. But when it comes to wisdom, it states, "Ani bino," I am bino. What does this mean? Bino is the wisdom itself. Bino is the wisdom of the Torah. So it wouldn't be right for the Torah to say that to me is bino. I am bino. Torah claims, "I am wisdom." There is much wisdom in the world, but compared to my wisdom, I am wisdom. Ani bino. This is what the Torah says. So when we study the wisdoms of the world, even though im yesh chokhma bagoyim tamin, that the Torah tells us that there is wisdom in the world and there's great wisdom in the world, but compared to my wisdom, the Torah says, ani bino. That's to me. No wisdom can compare to my wisdom. So ani bino. But eitzo and tushia and gevura, counsel and strength, this is not wisdom itself. Rather, this is a polyetze taloda, this is an outgrowth of the wisdom. If you are zeche, if you come to the wisdom of the Torah, so from there you will have also wise counsel and strength. So therefore we find that ani bino, I am wisdom, the Torah says. And li, and from me, will come eitzo, wisdom, and tushia, and gvura, and strength. Now, what does it mean, eitzo, counsel? All the time when it's mentioned counsel, we always find the adjective amuka, atzas amuka. Depth. And there are two types of counsel, of deep counsel.
One is called Eitzah, and the other is called Tushiyah. It's difficult to discern the difference between them. It seems, though, that the difference is many times we have a dilemma, and we don't know which direction to take. We have many options. We don't know which direction to take. We're confused. Eitzah, the one who has Eitzah, we go to someone and we ask him, and he's able to sort it out for us. He sees clearly what we could not see, that this way is certainly far better and more beneficial than all of the other ways. To us, all of the options seem the same. And he sees the difference like black and white. This way is far better than all of the others. He tells us the reasons and so forth. So that's Eitzah. Tushiyah is many times we have a problem, a dilemma, and we don't even have options in front of us. It's just we don't understand. We don't understand the situation. We're trying to understand the situation. We can't understand. We can't get any light in the situation. You go to a chacham, and he enlightens the situation for us. He gives us to understand what we could not understand before. That's Tushiyah. Tushiyah is the hasogus of Dvorim HaNe'alomim, that what was totally concealed to us before becomes open. So these are two levels in Eitzah, in counsel. And all of the time, as mentioned, Eitzah is Eitzah Amukah, deep. Why? Because something which is deep is concealed from the person. It's too deep for him to see it. Therefore, it's concealed. He asks, he is Sheol Eitzah, he asks for counsel because it's concealed from him. If it wouldn't be concealed from him, then he won't ask. You don't go asking advice on Dvorim Nigloim, on something which is open, something which is before you. You go to ask advice when you're in a dilemma. A dilemma means when you cannot understand, you cannot see, you cannot discern. This is why counsel, Eitzah, always is for the Ne'alomim, for something which is deep and concealed to the other person. And, as mentioned, there are two levels, Eitzah and Tushiyah. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, and of course, Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Loma Nikra Tushiyah. Actually, the Torah also, in certain psukim, is referred to as Tushiyah. Why is it called Tushiyah? Tushiyah? Shemateshes is Keicheshel Odom. Because the word Toshiyah, Mateshes, comes from the word weaken. Weakener breaks, because it breaks the strength of the person. This means that when we try to ponder something which is concealed to us, and this higher level is Tushiyah, not only to find the right way when we have many paths to go, but sometimes we have no paths, and everything is just darkness to us, and we don't understand it. And when you learn Torah, and you labor in Torah, and all of a sudden what was dark before becomes light and crystal clear, this is Tushiyah, but this is Mateshes Keches Shel Odom. This breaks the strength of a person, because how does he come to this? He comes to this through Amelus, through labor day and night. It states in Bechukeisai Teilechu Im Tiamelimo, that if you will labor in Torah, then you will come to this. So you come to Tushiyah. It's called Tushiyah because Mateshes Keches Shel Odom, a person has to give his strength away if he wants to come to this. This is one interpretation. There's another interpretation where it states Mateshes Keches Shel Odom, that it brings the strength of physical man. What does that mean? That why are certain levels of wisdom concealed to us? Why do we have these dilemmas? Because they're beyond us.
We're trying to understand something which is beyond us. We're standing at one level, and the key to this problem is at another level. And that's because we're physical. When a person labors in Torah, Torah breaks the Yetzer Hara. It breaks the physical coarseness of the person. It breaks the offer, the adoma, the earth in the person. Through laboring in Torah, he becomes more of a spiritual being. By becoming more of a spiritual being, then all of a sudden he sees things which he could not have seen before, because the mechitzas achemer, because the physical barriers stood between he and what he was trying to understand. So therefore Torah itself is called Tushia, because a person must labor to come through to this level, and it's Mateshes Kechel Shel Odom. This breaks the physical level of the person and brings him to this spiritual level. So therefore, a person who studies Torah Lishma will be zeichet to Bina. He'll be zeichet to wisdom. Wisdom is the wisdom of the Torah. And then in Mimena, and we will enjoy that pleasure from him. Then we will enjoy from him Eitzo Utushia. From the wisdom he will be able to reveal the Nealomim, what is concealed. The concealed becomes revealed, and others can come to him with their dilemmas, and he will be able to shed light on it for them. What does it mean, strength? How do people enjoy strength from the Baal Teda Lishma, from the one who studies Torah Lishma? He will give them strength and encouragement. When you have someone who studies Torah Lishma, he will be a source of strength not only to himself, but to others also. Because the Torah is strength. Because in this pasuk that we quoted, the Torah says, Li Eitzo Utushia, Ani Bina, Li Gvura. I am strength. And since he is strength, the Torah, then the one who studies the Torah Lishma will be strength, then he will be a source of strength to others. And these are all qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they become qualities of the Torah, and thereby the qualities of the one who studies the Torah. Why is there strength in the Torah? The answer to that is, this is somewhat linked to what we said before in regards to the Naaman. The physical world is very weak. Weakness is found in the physical world, not in the spiritual world. As we see, the physical world is always changing. Change is a sign of weakness. Steadfastness is a sign of strength. The physical world is always affected. If you take anything that's physical, you can easily affect it. For example, fire will affect metal, and water will affect earth, and time in general will cause deterioration and causes almost anything to wither, and so forth. The physical world is constantly affected by other forces. This is a sign of a weakness. The physical world constantly changes. This is a sign of a weakness. Spiritual levels do not change and they're not affected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing that can affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing that changes him. It's beyond all of this. When the Almighty created man, so man was created from the earth, and then he blew into his nostrils the Nishmas Hashem. The earth in man is the weakness in him. And this is why he's always subject to change, and he's always subject to being affected by other forces, or many forces, or all forces around him. But the spirit that he blew into the nostrils of a person, which came from Hashem, that is something which in its own right has no change and cannot be affected. when it intertwines with the earthly body, all right, then we can see where one pulls down the other. But the spirit itself is strength. And therefore the strongest part of the body is actually the seichel. The mentality of the person and the spiritual part of the person. This is the strongest part of the body. And we always find that the Torah was called Esh Das, a fire. A fire is known for its strength, because the fire is all-consuming. So therefore, Torah is Gvura, Torah is strength. Li Gvura. Torah says, I'm not affected. I'm not subject to change, and I'm not affected by everything that goes around. I'm not affected by all forces. So therefore, he who comes to the level of Torah will have Gvura. And he who has this Gvura will be Ne'ani Mimeno. We will enjoy it from him. So he will be a source of strength and steadfastness and encouragement to others. So Remeya therefore said that what we learned this evening was, firstly, that it prepares a person to be a tzaddik and a chosid and a yoshur, an upright and an emon and faithful, but a hakte min a hate, it distances him from sin, umikarafte lideshus, brings him to merit, and v'ne'anin mimenu, and we will take pleasure from him in etza, in tushia, in the various levels of wise counsel that can unravel mysteries, that can reveal to us what is concealed to us. Bina and wisdom we can take pleasure from, and Gvura and his strength. Why? Because these four qualities the Torah has, Shunemar, the Torah exclaims, Li Eitze V'tushia, to me, and from me comes counsel. Ani Bina, I am wisdom, Li Gvura, and from me comes strength. As I mentioned, Im Yitz Hashem, we will try to take a further opportunity to conclude the Mishnah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.